right of birth. And you would enclose the land all around the earth. Our future is your downfall when we cut this ball in shame. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain. With our sweat we build.
And so good morning and welcome to Corporations and Democracy for November 9th, 2018. This is the program that examines how corporations dominate our democracy and what citizens are doing to replace corporate dominance with true democracy. I'm Steve Scalmanini with co-host Annie Esposito. The opinions expressed on Corporations and Democracy are those of our guests and the hosts and not necessarily of the management of Mendocino County Public Broadcasting. Well, today we're lucky to have two guests with us for the our Pledge Drive program, both of whom have had books published very recently. In the second half hour, we'll be speaking with Peter Phillips about his new book, Giants, the Global Power Elite. And that's a look at the top 300 most powerful players in world capitalism who are at the controls of our economic future. For the first half of the program, we are delighted to have with us an author who has been all over national media recently with her new book, One Person, No Vote: How Voter Suppression is Destroying Our Democracy. Author Carol Anderson is chair of the African American Studies Department at Emory University. She researches and writes about public policy regarding race, justice, and equality, and has investigated the context of voter suppression and intimidation of minority voters. Her book, White Rage, won the National Book Critics Circle Award, and her new book, One Person, No Vote, was chosen to be among the top 10 nonfiction books for this year's National Book Awards, the winner to be announced in a week on November 14th. Well, what subject could be more timely today, 3 days after the midterm election, and with plenty of chaos in some of the aftermath of some races? So let's look at how voter suppression is destroying our democracy. Carol Anderson, welcome to Corporations and Democracy.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Steve and Annie. Thank you.
Yeah, you're in a really important voice right now because you're pointing out how millions of people who have been purged from voting rolls actually elected Trump as president. Can you describe how disenfranchising voters handed Trump those winning electoral votes?
Oh, absolutely. Because voter suppression, what it does is it targets key populations. And let me just do a quick history on that. I'm not going to go back to 1890. I'm just going to talk about the modern-day version for now of voter suppression. And what is driving it is the movement to the far, far right of the Republican Party. And that happened with the Southern Strategy coming out of 1964 when Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and he was a Democrat. The Southern Democrats looked up and said, there's no way for us to be in this party. I mean, they believe in that African Americans are like citizens, that they are equal, and that they're going to have their rights enforced by the federal government. And the Republicans looked up and said, then you can come here, and we want you. And so in that Southern strategy of using dog whistle racist language, it wooed the Southern Democrats into the Republican Party. But when you woo white supremacy in, it took over. The conservatives thought they could handle it. You can't handle white supremacy. You can't control it. And it moved the party further and further to the right until it got to the point where its policies cannot resonate with an increasingly diverse America. So in order to stay in power, their method is to target those populations, African Americans, Latinos, Asian Americans, the young, and the poor. And we look, for instance, at Wisconsin in the 2016 election. What happened there was that they implemented, the Republican Scott Walker and his legislature implemented a voter ID law. And one of the key elements of voter ID was that, you know, you could a government-issued photo ID. And then they began to tinker with, mess with, access to the Department of Motor Vehicles in Milwaukee. Milwaukee is where 70% of the state's black population lives. And so you mess with Milwaukee, you begin to mess with a stronghold of the Democratic Party. And by shortening the hours and closing down some DMVs and moving them while increasing the hours in Republican areas, and then even after a court order being unclear and creating confusion about what kinds of IDs were necessary, the in 2016 there were 60,000 fewer votes in Wisconsin than there were in 2012. 60,000 fewer. 68% of that drop came out of Milwaukee alone. When
wow.
we remember, yeah, that Trump won Wisconsin by a little over 20,000 votes, voter suppression, right there, targeted at Milwaukee, targeted at black people.
Yeah.
That was absolutely the difference there in Wisconsin.
Yes.
What we had in Florida was permanent felony disfranchisement, which at the time had led to, you know, Florida had 1.7 million people who could not vote because of felony disfranchisement. And that included 40% of black men were unable to vote in Florida.
Incredible.
In the 2016 election because of a felony conviction. Over 20% of the black adult population could not vote. Those numbers are staggering.
They are, yeah. So this, there's a stolen election for sure. And it was two states. That's all I had to do to bring down the other side and get the electoral votes that they needed to put Trump in office, the two states.
Right, just those two states. But you also had gerrymandering and voting machines that didn't work put into Detroit. You had problems in Pennsylvania, and you had, wow, almost ground zero of voter suppression happening in North Carolina, mm-hmm. where they applauded themselves. The Republicans applauded because they had managed to reduce African-American early voting by 8.5%.
Incredible. In the Florida disenfranchisement, do we know how far back that goes? Was anything changed in recent years about that?
And so it actually began during Reconstruction. In 1868, Florida was trying to figure out how do we reinstall slavery by another name.
Mm-hmm.
And how, because you had the Reconstruction Act of 1867 that said that black men could vote.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1868, Florida had this felony disfranchisement piece. Mm-hmm. And so what you do is you criminalize blackness. You create crimes that only black people will be arrested and convicted of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then with that, then you are able to take away their basic rights with a felony disfranchisement clause in the
mm-hmm.
Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And for other states, we're seeing this kind of felony disfranchisement law coming into place during the rise of Jim Crow. But it's to understand that what felony disfranchisement is about is a racist targeted hit on people that it allows states to strip African Americans of their voting rights, but to do so in ways that doesn't say we don't want black people to vote because that would violate the 15th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
So you create a law that only blacks are basically subjected to.
Yeah.
Like in 1868, it was like vagrancy.
Mm-hmm.
So as people are going around trying to find their families. We don't honor that they're trying to reconnect their families. Instead, we charge them with vagrancy.
Mm-hmm. And make it a felony,
yeah. And boom.
Yeah.
And then they're stripped of their rights. This is basically what we did with the war on drugs
mm-hmm.
as well, coming out of the civil rights movement.
There was mentioned just days ago on another news program, and I forget which one, I know, but a couple of examples someone put out, and you may have heard this in the press, The release of more than one helium balloon,
yes,
is a felony, and the trespass across a construction site to just, you know, it might be large, and the shortcut is just to go through a site with no obvious danger, but felony. Third-degree felony, I think it's called, but anyway.
Right, and I talk about, yeah, so imagine walking through an active construction site with helium balloons.
two potential felonies.
So life sentence for that. Yeah, we're talking about voting while black here. I do want to mention that I think there was an initiative approved in Florida that restored rights to over a million felony convicted, past felonies, people that are convicts that are released and have paid their debt to society, or whatever you want to call it, for walking across a construction site, and that they are now going to be able to vote. So that's kind of a breakthrough for Florida.
Yeah, but think about it. That happened because of a people-generated movement.
Right.
That happened from some deep grassroots activism. From returning citizens, those who had been previously incarcerated. And when they had served their time and they had then gone off paper, realized that they were still facing what we call civic death. Because Florida was one of only a handful of states that had permanent felony disfranchisement. And Governor Rick Scott, and so that meant that after you served your time, you got off paper, that your voting rights weren't automatically restored. Florida required that you had to wait years before you could petition the governor to get your voting rights back.
Wow.
And that commission only met four times a year. Under the previous governor, he had sped up the process. Rick Scott had slowed the process down to a dribble. And there was a recent study that showed that Republicans received their voting rights back at a much higher rate than Democrats. So you have inherent biases built into this process that should have been just clean, simple, easy. And people have said, doggone enough already. Mm-hmm. And so this was a people's initiative.
That's great. It shows you what the people can do when they get organized. We're going to take just a moment to remind you that you're listening to Carol Anderson here on KCYX. She's kind of a people's pundit, and you hear her insights on Democracy Now! And other national media, and you hear her right here on your radio station. KCYX is here to keep you informed on what's happening in your town, as well as nationally and internationally. And then there's that whole eclectic expanse of music for the spirit, as well as this news for the mind. So please take a little time to invest in your radio station and keep it on the air. And we have a $200 match from Anonymous. Anonymous, thank you again so much to Anonymous. Anyway, the number to call to keep this operation going, intact and going, is 895-2233, 707-895-2233. Or online at kzyx.org.
And go to the big red button there.
Yes, please help out and keep this thing. We want to also be able to send you a thank you gift, and there would be One Person, No Vote. That's the new book on voter suppression by our guest. For a $100 pledge on KZYX, you can get this important book as a thank you for helping to keep this little radio station going. Again, that's 895-2233. You really are going to need to have that on your shelf, that One Person, No Vote, because that's something we're dealing with from now on.
Mm-hmm. Carol, would you like to go then to the current election results and the status of the situation announced 3 days later? What can you tell us about the effect of voter suppression in the current races, or some that are called, some that have been, I think one has been uncalled in Florida, I believe, you know, one person has unconceded. So tell us about that. What do you know about that?
Well, you know, I'm in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I live. So I'm going to talk about Georgia overwhelmingly, because here you have, it is a microcosm of so much that we're dealing with. Brian Kemp was the Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State is the position that ensures that the elections run, that they're fair, that they are legitimate, and he was also running for governor.
Mm-hmm.
So he was also going to be in charge of, he didn't recuse himself, he didn't step down. He remained Secretary of State until, I think, yesterday. And so how the votes were handled, how where election machinery, all of that, that was Kemp. Now, what Kemp has done, he has been Secretary of State since 2010. He has systematically gone through using the kind of reasonable language, and this is part of what we have to understand about the way voter suppression works in the U.S., is that it looks reasonable. We have, we've got to maintain the voter rolls. Of course, you know, you don't want people who have died or people who have moved out of the district, out of the state, to be on the voter rolls. That's just logical. But it's the way that those rules are implemented that show an inherent racial bias. So we have voter roll purges in the in Georgia, where Kemp has removed 1.5 million voters from the rolls.
Wow!
I'm really glad to see that Stacey Abrams has not conceded until all the votes are counted or accounted for.
Right, because he has one of the things is he shut down after the U.S. Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act, and Georgia had been under what they call preclearance, where any changes it wanted to make, it had to go through the Department of Justice. Right. Without the Voting Rights Act, Georgia went wild. He shut down 214 polling places, most of them in minority and poor neighborhoods. What we know is that for every tenth of a mile that a polling place is moved from the black community, African-American voter turnout goes down by 0.5%. And that has to deal with access to the polling place. How, you know, how far away is it? Is it near a public transportation? Those sorts of things. So you move it far enough away, you can do damage. One of the stunts they tried to pull in Sparta, Georgia, was to move the black polling station 17 miles away.
Ouch.
And I think I remember reading somewhere, I don't know what state it was, but there was a way around this was to get a bus or a van to take black people to the polls, and the police stopped the van.
It was Georgia.
That was Georgia.
It was Georgia. So Black Voters Matter, which is an incredible organization, Black Voters Matter went into, it was in Georgia, and there were 40 elderly black people on this bus going to go vote, do early voting.
Early voting.
And the county commissioner came up and said, told them to get off the bus. And the question was, why? And it turned out, he's like, well, we don't know who these people are with our folk. And that was the paternalism there. And so what we had in this election, besides all of that kind of groundwork, we also had not enough voting machines in key precincts in Atlanta. So in one, in Metro Atlanta, in Snellville, they didn't bring in power cords for the machines.
Jeez.
So there were four-hour wait lines. So, you know, people are in line for 4 hours and the line's not moving because they're trying to figure out how do we fire up the machines. Where are the power cords? In another, it turns out that there were, I think, something like somewhere between 1,500 to 1,800 voting machines that basically were stuck in a warehouse and not put into commission. 700 of which is, you know, is the big number there that people said, "Wow." So in the AUC area, that is the Atlanta University Center, which has Clark Atlanta, Spelman College, and Morehouse College. They had to basically go to court and get the hours extended because the lines were so long because there weren't enough machines. And so Kemp is responsible for the machines. Right. And so
funny coincidence.
And because he didn't recuse himself, and because you have had all of these kinds of shenanigans, you've had, they've got a program called Exact Match.
Heard about that.
The Yeah, the judge, when Kemp was first using it, the judge had said this, you know, when they went to court, the judge said this is racially discriminatory. Mm-hmm. And then the Georgia legislature, which is a highly gerrymandered legislature, then created a law to create Exact Match, the same program that the judge had just struck down. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're using. And so AP found that in this election, Kemp had basically embargoed 53,000 voter registration cards because the something on that card didn't exactly match what was in the state database in terms of the Department of Motor Vehicles, which they call the Department of Driver Services here, or in the Social Security office. But what that means is if you have an accent in your name, you write your name Renee with that accent, but the Driver's License Bureau doesn't put the accent there. It kicks your name out for voter registration.
Right, gotcha. Accent marks, dashes,
yes.
Apostrophes, yes. And then, you know, so-and-so.
Exactly. We are out of time. I want to mention one more thing that's good, and that's Lucy McBath. Do you want to quickly
Wow!
Yeah, I know. Quickly, if you could, I know we promised we'd let you go, you know, a minute ago, but if you could just give us that quickly, and then we're going to urge our voters here to vote for the station by calling 895-2233. Please do this. We're lagging behind on this show. We do have a $200 match to meet, 895-2233, and just a few last words of wisdom from Carol Anderson.
And I mean, so what we really see in this election with Lucy McBath, with the issue 4 in Florida, is that the people are energized and they want their democracy back. And they're willing to organize, they're willing to drive people to the polls, they're willing to fund candidates, not corporate money. This is money funded by the people to get the kinds of candidates like Lucy McBath who will fight for gun sense. Not that nonsense, but gun sense legislation. Because corporations and big lobby groups have put a stranglehold on this democracy, and the people are like, not today. Not today. That's what I hear in this election. People fighting for their democracy.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Carol Anderson, One Person, No Vote. Thank you for being with our listeners today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And congratulations for being on that, they call it the long list for the book award, and good luck next week.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank
all
you.
Right. All right. Good luck to us all.
Yes. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was Carol Anderson, author of One Person, No Vote, How Voter Suppression is Destroying Our Democracy, which you can get for a pledge of $100 for our pledge drive program to helping to keep corporations and democracy and all of KZYX on the air. Please go to your phones if you haven't yet donated for this pledge drive and help us out. Again, 895-2233 is the number.
Yes, 895-2233. I think our phone answers are going to be falling asleep. Please wake them up. Thank you. We're going to go now to our next guest in just a few moments.